Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host as always, Charlotte, and this week we're talking about poems to pop culture. As I mentioned last week, I got a new poetry collection, and it's full of poems about pop culture. And I love them. I haven't finished the book, actually, but I am most of the way through at this point, and on my second read-through, like, going through and highlighting bits that, like, hit me, and some of the poems do have pencil marks now, so, yeah. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, is what I'm meaning to say. Anyway, I have found a lot of pop culture poems, and one of the things I love about modern poetry is that it feels like it fits very much into my understanding of how poetry exists within our society. Is that a weird way to say it? Of, like, it is a reflection of the things that are big in people's minds at the time. And I think that's the thing we're always taught in school, is like, oh, the literature is a reflection of the minds of the people who wrote it, and therefore the minds of, like, the people from their social group. But I think, like, our poetry from now can say a lot about our time. Also, I like the pop culture references. They feel very, like, fun. So yeah, before I waffle on about pop culture and poetry even more, let's just dive into it. So the first poem I'm going to talk about today is actually the one that inspired me doing this episode from this new book. And it's In Springfield, Mexico, Lisa Simpson Speaks in Spanish by Juana Adcock. Scene 1. Lisa Simpson speaks of the dubbing actor who voiced her for Latin America. Many people don't know this, since I wear pearls around my neck like an upper-class 1950s North American teen, and my skin is crayoned in an invisible hue that does not at first glance appear to signal meaning. But for most of my life, I was voiced by Patricia Acevedo Limón, a career woman in Mexico City. Brown eyes, brown skin, bowl haircut, statement jewelry reminiscent of indigenous cultures. Despite the success of the show, she never flaunted my name. Instead, she gave interviews at deserted stalls in obscure Mexican comic book conventions, did her own housework, and rode the bus. While still very young, she attended a voiceover school that taught her to make her voice more palatable to a wider Latin American audience, how to use neutral words in an unmarked accent, how to push her timbre to the back of her palatoglossal arch in the style of the Spaniards, to the edge of her oropharynx as far back as she could to furthermost corner of the head, while still revealing a tender emotion the way women are expected from birth to take up as little space as possible, even with their own physical structures. So there are several things about this poem that I really like. One, that it's from the perspective of this famous character. It's very interesting to sort of be like, what would she think about her own Latin America voice actor? It's very fun to think about, like, this character who is shown to have these very strong beliefs, from what I've seen of The Simpsons, like, commenting on the disparity between who she is and who the person who dubs her is. There was something that hit me really hard about she gave interviews at deserted stalls in obscure Mexican comic book conventions, did her own housework, and rode the bus. Like, genuinely, that, I know that there's other stuff in the second half of the poem that is, like, talking about the idea of wider appeal, and, like, the idea of, because she is trying to appeal to a Spanish-speaking market, but not a specific, like, country, she has to make her voice appealing for all of these countries, which is really interesting. And, like, having all the thing of, like, her having to physically learn how to use her throat and her mouth in a really specific way to be appealing, is interesting. But the bit that, like, got me was, like, she goes to Mexican comic book conventions, did her own housework, and rode the bus. Like, this woman lived a simple, like, life. She didn't flaunt the fact that this was her job, that this was, like, the her livelihood was this really big name thing that was in everyone's houses. She just did these normal things and did obscure comic book conventions, and it's just like this moment of zooming in on this woman as this like very down-to-earth character, like doesn't flaunt her job, doesn't flaunt her fame, because no one, like very few people ever remember the name of the voice actors or whatever when they're watching a show. I certainly don't. I don't know, I mean, people who are really into it might, but like for me that's not something I really think about unless I'm going into the show aware of who these voice actors are. So that really like hit me, was like, oh, she's really like, in that one paragraph I was like, I feel like I understand who this woman is, and I like, she's really down to earth and lovely. Alright, so the next poem is by Desiree, and it's the Notorious B.I.G. and Jesus Christ on a Boat. Then, without warning, a furious storm came. Billows big enough to separate the weak from the obsolete. Biggie sucks saliva from behind his teeth, throws his hands into air, and Jesus sighs. Waves permeate the cleats of the boat like bullets and drive by. Sweat dances down Biggie's cheek. Finally, Jesus asks, "Why are you so afraid?" Biggie pats his wallet to check his pride is still there. He wants forgiveness, but Jesus too has cast out all that's sold and bought on his block. There is no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Biggie shifts from the stern to the gunwale. The boat does not falter. Jesus takes out a crustless tuna sandwich, pulls it apart from the middle, hands half to Biggie. They chew, watching the waves turn to foam as the sky hums a perfect blue. So this one, I don't think Jesus is a pop culture reference, but I do think the Notorious B.I.G. is. But like, this sort of felt like a double whammy of like these two big personalities. Or rather, I don't know if I'd say Jesus has a big personality, but it's a very well-known and established one. There was just something about the imagery of these two people on this boat that really, really shook me. And like, to still have the Jesus character in it say these lines that feel very much like what I have read of the Bible, which isn't a whole ton. I haven't read from the like original Bible. I've had like stories paraphrased to me and stuff, but and then like, there is no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends, just like came out of nowhere. Like, there is so little actual stuff that we're getting here, and there is a very big implication of there is something before. There's another Desiree poem in this collection, and it has a very similar vibe of like, we do not want to know what the surrounding world is beyond the fact that it places it in our world in some extent, because of these like real like actors and musicians and big names and celebrities. The bit that truly got me in this poem, and it's the only bit I highlighted in this poem, because before it I was like, oh, I'm really sucked into what's actually going on, and after it I was so struck by this line that I was like, I cannot move on from this in this poem, was Biggie pats his wallet to check his pride is still there. And just like, yeah, the idea of his pride being tied to his financial gain and like the money he makes in the industry, being so prevalent that when literal Jesus asks why he's wrong, he checks his own pride and he checks his money. Just, there was something in that that I was just taken aback by so much that it just stopped the rest of my thoughts in my tracks when I first read it. And on like my second and third read through too, I just like, I get to that line and I'm just like, oh god, that's great, that's great. Anyway. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you guys for coming in to the tavern today. I hope you enjoyed. There is so many more pop culture poems I could talk about. Like, literally the other Desiree one, I was like, oh, do I talk about the Jesus boat with the Notorious B.I.G., or do I talk about the other one, which is like the Kim K one? Anyway, there's just so many options. But I always forget about, like, modern poetry referencing pop culture and how much I enjoy it. I just think it's so fun as a tool. I'm not very good at using it, but It's just fun. Anyway, next time we're going to be talking about... Let's do travel next time, yeah. Yeah. My partner suggested it, so that's what we're going to do. I didn't come up with any better ideas in the time between when they suggested it and the time of recording this episode, so that'll be what it is. There's a lot of travel poetry, because there's a lot of travel literature, and people love to write about places they've been. Yeah, so we'll see you then. Bye.